Welcome to Awakenings Chapter 9 of my book, Self-Worth, Where to Draw the Line. I read the first paragraph. I used to seek approval for most of my life, trying to find value in being valued by another, moulding myself, even looking for validation from women that I was a man. You know, looking into the past, people say, I shouldn't look back, shouldn't look at the past. But if you're caught or you're triggered in these moments or the now moment, then it has something to do with the past. Almost always. To look back isn't to dwell in it, isn't to justify it. It's to reflect and find answers or understandings on certain circumstances to free you in the now moment from here on. And an example to the sentence, even looking for validation from women that I was a man. So that was set up in a sense that when I was a teenager, my dad was busy doing other things a lot of the time. Well, my mother and my sister, it's more like, well, okay, you're the man of the house in a sense, you know, the protector and that sort of thing. So I didn't know what a man was, like who does really. And I feel like it's being squashed, masculine in certain circles in society. So not knowing how to be a man, I looked to my sister, my mum for validation. It's just circumstances. So I didn't realize it set up a pattern for me. And this is the unraveling through looking at conditioning. It set up a pattern in future relationships where I'd hand my power away. I might have been strong on some level, doing active things and come across as a protective guy, which I am. But I handed my power away because I didn't realize that subtly I didn't feel whole. And I played rugby league and did things, and I did pretty well because I was always trying to push boundaries. I always wanted to try and fill a void within myself. You push things to the limits. And it's interesting because no matter how hard I pushed in sport and things, I always felt there was a void, a gap that I couldn't fill. So in relationships, I repeated the pattern that I did as a teenager where I'd hand my power away in a sense, looking for approval or validation that I was a man. But then on some level, I'd resent that that control. So I'd hand the baton over, they'd steer me or control me and it wasn't. And so nothing, none of this is sinister, but I didn't realize what I was doing. I didn't realize that I was seeking approval so much. And so it's walking a line where you don't want to offend anyone and you look for validation, justification or guidance, and the sentiment you carry within was one that I would seek approval, and then it'd create resentment if I felt at times I was taken advantage of. But I put myself in a position where I could be taken advantage of, and if someone wasn't aware, and then I feel it would cause an issue because if I wasn't strong at times or I was seeking approval, then it impacts the respect. On both, going both directions from both sides. So I was basically setting myself up for failure in relationships. So this was a value in reflecting and discovering that there were certain patterns that I'd set up that was dysfunctional. And I'm not saying it's for me or them, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm just wondering. I know we're looking at the book, but can I just ask on behalf of people that know that their current issues are stemming from the past, but they're finding the past too hard or too difficult to look back on and reflect on, I would just suggest that they deal with it and sort of come to terms with those issues and let them go and hear from them?
I feel the first thing is to realize that it's not your fault. And when it depends on how old you are, but most of this is, you know, younger years as a child or teenager, we're not equipped. We're not taught how to deal with things. We don't know how to find our way through. We aren't given the necessary guidance and understanding that we need. This is the whole thing. We pass on the patterns of our parents, or it's passed on to us. And the parents, it's amazing how the insight the parents will offer us is the patterns that they use themselves, that, and they're not happy either a lot of the time. So I feel when you look back, it's having the courage to look back and the understanding that it's not your fault, that you're doing the best you can. So I feel to reflect on the past, you have to look at it softly and accept yourself and love yourself and understand that you're doing the best you can. And that can give you the courage to look into and reflect on certain circumstances where that pain comes from or misunderstanding comes from. So the starting point is having the courage to look back without judging yourself. And it's really easy initially, if there's pain there, to fall into victim space, fall into the pain that you experienced in the younger years. And I feel if you look back into the past, so I'm not a psych, this is through experience. If you're struggling to look into the past, nurture yourself in the present. And I really feel that. So it's a multifaceted way to really start diving into yourself. And it all comes down to all your experiences impact how you are now and how you see yourself and how you are with yourself now in this moment, in a now moment. And if you struggle a bit with looking into the past or reflecting, then begin by nurturing yourself now, doing things, slowing down, being soft and gentle with yourself, even in attitude, in mannerism, when you're doing things physically, like if you're cooking or if you're doing things or going for walks, slow down, I really feel. And this can potentially bring up, it can bring up some of the blockages that you're potentially not willing to see, because without awareness, we tend to judge ourselves and think I'm not good enough, or maybe I'm not worthy, or something like that. So if you struggle to look back and reflect, then nurture yourself in this moment. It can be confronting, but it's a way to soften the past and start accepting yourself now. By nurturing yourself, you can start accepting yourself more so now, and that will soften the barrier between this moment and the past. And I feel it's just expanding your understanding. You must remember that, you know, other children or other teenagers, or it's probably easier to think of a child or someone that's 5 or 6 or someone there that they don't have the understanding. And looking back rationally, there's no way you can blame a child for anything that's going on around them. And then you must remember that you are that child, or you were that child, but that child is within you now. So the same, the understanding, and sometimes easier as a third person, just look at the circumstance and rationalize, understanding that you cannot blame a child for their experiences and what happens to them. And likewise, you cannot blame yourself from when you're younger. So I feel there's a good starting point. And then it's interesting, you'll see the mannerisms and the patterns that you fall into currently, today's society, and you'll see how it's a mirror. As you soften the understanding within yourself, you'll see how it's a direct mirror of your circumstances and conditioning, because spirituality and awareness is ultimately breaking through your conditioning, the automatic patterns within your psyche. This has to be seen, looked into to break free from the suffering that you may experience today. So I said, this is chapter 9, self-worth, where to draw the line. Understanding the pattern and seeing that I did seek answers from women, which was exactly what I did as a teenager through my sister and my mum. That pattern was repeated. And it's not always easy to see cycles, because we tend to, in relationships, if things aren't working out, we default to they're treating us like this or they're treating us like that. But we don't realize at times that we're facilitating or encouraging certain behaviors coming toward us based on how we're sitting ourselves and handing our power away, or seeking approval, or not standing up for ourselves, or not valuing our feelings, or pretending that it's all okay when it's not, because we don't want confrontation. So this is going back into your habits, mannerisms, conditioning. As you start understanding yourself, you'll have the courage, begin to have the courage to speak up in a more rational way, where you're valuing yourself and you're trying to expand understanding into your relationships today, rather than just trigger or react to someone because you feel like you're being squashed. It's ultimately, we are allowing ourselves to be squashed if that is the case, because we're not speaking up or not expressing that well. We don't have the courage to trust our intuition. So it's all about getting in touch with yourself and understanding yourself on a far deeper level. So to continue this paragraph, everyone's values, experiences, and ideas of what being whole or complete is differs immensely. If you look closely, almost everyone is living in a way that promotes unhappiness or misery. We have all heard the term, we reap what we sow. Many of us know this intellectually, but are so caught on autopilot through fear, we don't know how to pull ourselves out or change the situation to benefit us or encourage self-awareness. Only through self-awareness can we disengage from our own personal self-defeating autopilot within us. Goes on, we may not change another's opinion. Only when one is open to possibility can we spark something within. Most likely, if they are already open or self-reflective, only through self-reflection can one break through this illusionary realm in which we are caught. This is the fastest way to discover the true depths of your heart. So many great beings have asked themselves a question through reflection. The divine timing is perfect, as always, and they have worked through and surrendered enough for that final question to shatter the remaining ideas or thoughts that were mistaken to be real. It has always been said that it is only the belief in our thoughts that stop us from discovering our true self. I believe even Eckhart Tolle, he was suffering immensely in depression. And I believe this is how the story goes, how he woke up. And there's all these voices in his head. And basically, it was something like, well, which one is real? Which one is me? And everything shattered, and he realized that no thought was real. And that was profound. So it sometimes, when in your darkest moments, it can be the most liberating. And from my experience, when I was broken and open, questions arose in my mind, and this book talks about that too. And things change, and they've never been the same since, because I deeply understood some things within myself. So it goes on to talk about victim space and looking at the pain and entrapments of your thoughts when caught in suffering. If someone tries to gain from playing the victim or blaming, it sets them up to feel on some level that they can gain from another. They sort of feed off the other person in a way. This is a very vulnerable place for a number of reasons. So most importantly, it discourages them from finding and trusting their own heart. Therefore, they invest in manipulation rather than truth by protecting a story for a false sense of power. And this is where it comes to, even if one plays the victim, they're dominating and controlling what comes in and the other people through victimhood or victim space, or it's the blame's always going out. And in that place, you're always going to suffer. There is no way through. If you don't believe you have the power to change and you blame others for how you feel, nothing can change. The whole world must change for you to be liberated. And even if that is the case and the whole world conforms to your ideas, which is obviously impossible, it's just pretending it. It's just creating an environment where you're not triggered and there's no actual self-discovery. In actual fact, you become more fragile because everyone's walking in eggshells around you. And it gives you potentially that person a false sense of dominance where they're controlling everything like a dictator, yet they're playing the victim. It's such a perpetual cycle of suffering and misery, not just for the victims, but for all those around them. It just ripples out. You must take ownership of how you think and feel. So the more one conforms, or the more you have someone conform to your ideas of things you need for your happiness, more this self-defeating cycle just self-perpetuates. And then the story that one tells in the victim space and the suffering, it's expanding all the time. It's amazing how people can find ways, actively look for ways to find triggers to control even more. it's amazing how astute the mind can be, even in suffering. And if you're not aware, if you're not careful, subtly, one will find more ways to trigger themselves. And they become so attuned to looking for fault in things that life just becomes hell, especially for those that are conforming. So the people that are controlling, that are blaming others for how they feel, they're often aggressive, fragile, reactive, and full of pain. It takes ultimate courage to face your own thoughts, and it is most often the last place we examine. That is why we suffer for so long. Often these people intensely control the environment for a fleeting sense of peace. As long as your happiness is dependent on your surroundings, on some level you're believing that you are a victim of your circumstances. This could not be further from the truth.
Yeah, I was just thinking, a lot of people that do play the victim do not recognize that in themselves. But that's a 100%. Lack of self-examining,
yeah, isn't it? No, yeah, lack of self-awareness, exactly.
Yeah.
So if I was to try to gain approval from any being who is seeking peaceful fulfillment outside of themselves, therefore controlling their environment, I would be sending them a message that it is okay to continue this pattern and that it works on some level, because I'm on some level I'm feeding them, fulfilling something, but it's always going to be fleeting because it's external. I'll therefore be giving my power away to someone that doesn't even understand their own. Just they don't understand their own power. Anyone who takes power from others or feeds off others has not realized their heart, therefore cannot fully support you or themselves, because true support and softness and kindness and understanding comes from heart, comes from a softness within, empathy and these sort of things. So when one is controlling yourself and trying to feed off you, they're not seeing you. They're just caught in their
perception.
Yes, their perception, their lack of seeing, their pain. So in that space, they cannot see you. They can only see themselves.
Mm-hmm.
These people may encourage you up to a point, but will do their best to ensure you don't leave their shadow. And that's because they're reliant on you. They feed off you.
Yeah.
I would much rather not encourage self-defeating behavior. There are a number of ways we may try to gain from another. The sooner we realize this ultimately cannot fulfill us, the sooner we will start looking within and start breaking through our self-defeating thoughts and ideas. I was in a relationship years ago and had my partner at the time said, oh, I feel like you don't support me 100%. And I said, I don't. And that might come across harsh in a way, but I said, I'll tell you why. I said, I will not support that which creates suffering in you, which means false ideas. I'll always support the growth within others. But if one is blaming and fooling themselves with misconceptions, and as you go further and further on the journey, it becomes more and more obvious those that are fooling themselves or that are blaming others or looking outside of themselves. If you support these mannerisms or traits, tendencies, then you're basically locking them in a false idea that's going to create more suffering. And it's not about judging others, going, oh, you're wrong, or you're this, or you're that. It's about saying, no, there's another way. And I will say to others, I don't see it like that. And I'll always try and offer a sense of growth or potential deeper understanding. I don't condemn people for their thoughts or ideas. I just try and offer something that's lighter, that if a deeper idea is integrated, then it will bring more freedom, a deeper sense of freedom and peace within. So I will not blindly support anyone that I feel has a false idea or a self-defeating pattern. I will not support that. I cannot. And even if it was in a relationship, you're giving them something that they have to work through, and you're embedding something more deeply that creates suffering in them. And to me, that's pretty straightforward. But yeah, if you blindly believe everything your partner says and they're suffering continually or often, then you're not helping them at all. You might think you are, and you can support them by saying, yeah, it's okay. But empathizing is one thing, supporting someone through empathy, but validating a false idea, or at least not even questioning it and just believing it blindly, that's a trap. And you're building up thicker walls for someone to break down. But this really starts, this awareness really starts with self-awareness and understanding more deeply yourself, some of the pitfalls and traps that you can fall into. And even if you fall into certain traps, entrapments within your psyche, yourself, being aware of that, that in itself can change the dynamic when you're trying to help someone. You go, well, yeah, I see what you mean, but you know, I've done this a few times, several times over the years, and I find it keeps me suffering. You know, so you can offer a deeper sense of understanding by utilizing your own experience, even if you can't break through it at this point. But in that way, you know, if the other person gets a sense of the insight, then potentially you can both break through a self-defeating habit or condition.
Well, I'm just thinking there's other people that aren't quite so deep in suffering to the point of victimhood. How do they recognize that then that they need to sort of step out of some sort of suffering? Because I know even myself, I never felt that I was suffering and I never felt like I was a victim, but yet I still needed to, you know, go in a different path than I had been. Because I had been, you know what I mean? So how does someone recognize that? Yeah.
Love these questions you throw my way. So great questions all the time. So let me see, let me feel best way through. So with yourself, for example, there's a couple of things you can use to evaluate yourself in a way on whether you need to expand the understanding or not. You know, when you talk to people like that, you can go, oh, yeah. It's the capacity to listen and the patience you have with others. I feel a lot of people go through a point where they go, well, if they don't get it, it's just bad luck. I'm not going to partake in this conversation, or, yeah, you don't have a lot of patience in the sense. So I remember at one point you were saying, because you had the mental understanding, you know, if they don't get it, it's just their problem, you know, in a sense. And I remember I offered, and to those listening in, that if you have an understanding of something and you feel it's cut and dry, if you don't get it, it's just bad luck. It's just like not ready yet. We all have different personality types. And I feel an indication that you've pretty deep and you've developed a deep sense of understanding is you'll be patient and find a way through to offer something that they can digest. So I've mentioned before that, you know, you can't treat everyone like a lion and give them all the same food. It's like within the psyche, there might be lions and gazelles and all sorts of creatures. So it's about understanding the person. And if you can understand different types of personality types and offer something of the same nature, essentially nourish their soul on some level, but communicate in a way like that's different, that's digestible for each person, then you know that the understanding of your heart is deep because you can offer it in different doses, in different contexts, different understandings with different people. Because if I speak to everyone exactly the same, then I'm saying you have to be basically mirror image of me to understand, and then I'll have time for you. But if your character's different, if your personality's different, then it's just bad luck. You just don't get me. You're just not deep enough. Mm-hmm. So it's like some people see, you know, pictures in their mind. Some people are more visual. Some people are more mathematical, and there's all sorts of things. So if you don't have patience for people, then it's about developing a deeper sense of yourself so they have patience. And so it's a great indicator because we often hang around with like-minded people. I don't spend a lot of time taking others into themselves if they're not interested. But if people are curious, or if they're asking questions, then I believe a great sign that you're going pretty deep is that you have the patience to understand what they're saying, you empathize with them, and then you can give them insight which they can consider. And that's across multiple personality types. And I feel instead of in your mind, in a sense, it's like it can be cut and dry. This is the information. It's just like this and like that, and that's it. And that when you educate through a mind understanding, it's not as soft. And I feel to offer deep insight to another or some sense of support or understanding to another, it has to be dipped in heart, in softness. And that's the transition from heart to, or mind to heart, in a way that you empathize, there's a softness. So therefore, you can offer things to others. And if it comes through softness, their walls can come down and they're more chance, they have a greater chance of accepting what you're offering, as opposed to if someone's caught in an ideal trying to justify or prove that they're right, there's just a harshness banging it, and it's almost, it can be ridiculing or it can be sharp or harsh in how you communicate. So I feel if you're listening to others, or if anyone's listening to others, and there's a potential ball within the solar plexus, so that you feel like there's knots within your system based on what they're saying, or it's stirring things within you, or and your body's not flowing, and you get a sense of tension when you're listening to others, then you have a mind understanding, and when you're communicating, you feel like you're trying to put it into a box of your understanding. And there, in those places, you may not fully listen. You do part of the talking, and you're just trying to put something where it doesn't fit. I feel in deep understanding, you become like a martial artist, where if someone tries to move in, you can move with the person, and it's like a dance in a sense. So there's no real grating. There's a sense of understanding on a different level. So it's pretty deep understanding, really, in a sense, from that question that you asked.
Yeah.
But it has to transition from a mental understanding and where everything's compartmentalized to taking everything out of the box and seeing that everything immerses and everything fits perfectly together in a way. And that's so that really, and from your own experience, it's gone from that where there are times where you go, well, if I don't understand, it's bad luck, you know, to a soft and a different type of listening. And the conversation that we've had, like, I didn't go, no, it's not like that. I would go, yeah. And then I'd.
Yes, you did.
But then I'd just encourage, I'd offer a different ingredient or different, slightly different perspective. And it was always through softness, and there was no forcing anything. It's like, oh, yeah, try this. It's like offering another bit of fruit almost, or something that you, I don't need that. It's like, oh, just try it. And then after a while, oh, that actually, yeah, tastes good, has some substance, you know, nourishes me on a deep level. Yeah, okay. And then it's like, oh, try this now, sort of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a real transition. And as you know, this letting go of the mind aspect, things expand and become softer. And naturally, you become softer with yourself. And it's normal. It's part of the process through spirituality that when you start developing yourself, you hold on to things and you discover something and it's like gold, and then everything has to fit into that box because you get a sense of power because something's broken away and some energy's rushed in. So you sort of take ownership of the insight, but it's not yours, and it's nothing to be owned. It's about letting go from that on even more deeply. So it's about embracing and enjoying the expansion of self, but owning nothing, as in the concepts. So, and then you encourage, and it speeds up, but you encourage further development and further walls coming down. And then instead of stereotyping everyone, you understand on a deeper level, and you just encourage others to let go. So do you feel like I answered that question okay?
Yeah.
It's a pretty deep explanation, really. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
No, I was just saying, I definitely relate to going from the mental to the heart, because I was all intellectualizing everything.
And as you know, there's a sense of, I'm not saying you're harsh, but there's a sense of rigidity and harshness to some degree.
Yeah.
And then it just happens more and more over time.
Which was me protecting myself, because I felt that that's what I needed to do, but didn't in actual fact need to do that anymore.
There's nothing to protect.
Yeah.
So another false idea to see through.
Yeah.
So, if you have a mental understanding, it's fantastic. It's better than not having the understanding. But yeah, if it's hard and fast and everything's in a box and you almost don't allow other people to speak and you try and dominate or have the last say, or you're trying to force feed someone, then you haven't really understood yet. There's still things that need work that needs to be done.
Yeah.
And a great indicator is you don't necessarily have patience with others. We value everyone, but you know, I'll talk to anyone, whatever their thoughts, feelings are, but I don't try and convince anyone of anything, and even all those around me. So it's just a matter of offering a piece of my heart because it feels nice. And even if it's just one sentence and you walk away, I'm not walking around trying to change everyone, force feed anyone whatsoever. And so that's the letting go. So if you take ownership of the knowledge or understanding that you have, then it's like when you offer it to people, it has to be taken and accepted in exactly the way that you utilize that understanding. And everyone's going to take a certain understanding and the dose and the understanding of that, or whatever the principle or whatever it is, it's going to vary based on their conditioning and experience, what they have access to within themselves, and it will expand over time. So you have to offer something to someone and let go and let them digest it and integrate it in their own time. So patience becomes a huge thing. When you're caught in a sense of knowing mentally, you don't have the patience for others. You want them to hurry up and take your understanding. And there's conditions around it. It has to be unconditional, and that is hard. Where in the mind, it's not unconditional often. Or if it's sort of unconditional to some degree, there's still a positioning of them and you in a sense, yeah. You know? So it's like, well, yeah, they get it, but they're not quite as deep as me or like this or like that. And there's an assertion of positioning potentially. So these are multiple entrapments of the mind as it starts understanding on a deeper level. If you haven't fully discovered your worth, then there's still going to be that play a bit of positioning. So a great question. So it's going to sound really full on to start with answering that question, isn't it? But it'll unravel.
You can do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Another paragraph. Ego can be very elusive and subtle. If I was to try to protect another in a restricting or domineering manner from anything that I feel is not serving them, based on my mind-made insights or understandings, then I would be playing God. That would be ego. So it's fitting, actually, from what I've just been saying. If I try and control how they digest the information, what they do with it, and I'm trying to restrict or dominate their understanding, then I'm playing God and saying this is how it must be utilized, and I'm not actually surrendering to the process. Because as we develop within ourselves, we go through a certain process, and that's divine, ultimately. Who are we to force a process on another? And the fastest anyone will grow, and since we've known each other, Linda, it's the softening and the support rather than the control that speeds up the journey, and not trying to dominate or control anything, but just offering like a deeper insight or things to consider. Life isn't held together by me or my ideas. What a relief that is. All I need to do is be true to myself and cultivate my heart, which is letting go. The rest is taken care of. I could not truly know all the reasons why something happens. Because I cannot see something does not mean it's not possible. We used to think the world was flat, and I still do now. Should probably get rid of that line ultimately. Anyway. Be open to any and all possibilities. I get rid of that little part. We used to think the world is flat. be open to any and all possibilities. There is karma and so many things at play, and miracles happen every day. If I want to improve a relationship, this is a paragraph too. If I want to improve a relationship with someone, there are ways. But the goals are to heal yourself within any given situation, not change anyone else. So we encourage change by being the change, not by forcing it or imposing it on another. It just so happens that the love, healing, and understanding you gain, even on subtle levels, ripples out, affecting others or impacting others.
I think it's trusting, showing that you're trusting and letting go sort of encourages other people to feel safe in doing that same thing.
Yeah. The more you try and ram something home with someone, the more the walls will come up. Soften, and I've said softness is the way, it's the least challenging. Like speaking about spirituality or expanding the mind or questioning things is challenging anyway. But if people want answers, and like I've said before, you offer appetizers, you offer something small that they can potentially digest based on where the conversation naturally goes. It's not because not a matter of going, oh, I can't wait to finish because I want to give them that, this or that. It's based on listening intently on how they feel and then offering something from the heart and trusting your intuition. Yeah, I feel definitely that the path of least resistance is coming from heart, and that can be threatening for some people, but transitioning from mind to heart, things start becoming more and more soft and subtle and non-threatening. So therefore you're facilitating a space where change and openness is encouraged. And it just naturally, because it's like in nature, if you can offer a space that's comfortable and nurturing, nourishing, then walls come down. And people, it's like bathing in the light. And if you give people a dose of that without force feeding them at all in that space, then on some level, you're giving them a sense of empowerment or support. So you're reflecting the divine or nature in a sense by how you carry yourself. And that is the potency. It's not by lecturing or anything like that. It's about facilitating a space of love. And I feel this is the sentiment we must carry as much as possible. Even if someone comes across harsh or it's hard to deal with at times, facilitating a space of love is the greatest way through, because that melts everything around it. And some people resist that and might bring up stuff in some, but it is still the way through. And it's the fastest way to create change in and around your environment and within yourself. So there are meditative techniques which can work wonders and help release suffering. And further in the book, I'll be mentioning a type of meditation that can assist. But there are many meditations, and some can help. There's metta. There's some that can help your relationships within yourself and with others. It softens things. Yep, the final sentence is, if you want to heal the world, start with yourself. We can only offer assistance for healing others if they truly want to heal. Yeah, their process is up to them. And once again, we offer what we can through heart. They have to do it in their own time and make their own choice of where they want to start. And encouragement is the greatest way. So I feel that that's the key going forward. So there's a few things in here too.
Pretty big things. You know.
Yeah.
A few morsels. Yeah, full on.
I feel like each chat's getting deeper and deeper. And so if there's something anyone wants me to break down a bit more so, because we've just jumped straight into the deep end in a sense, some of these questions. But I feel it's important not to overanalyze things. It's just let it go. Just feel it. If it feels true, if it makes sense, then just carrying the sentiment and feed off the energy of the conversation in a sense, and just know there's a possibility for change, absolutely. And it starts with just a willingness. And if you're listening to this, then you're well on your way anyway, my view, if you're sort of listening and you resonate with these things. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. Learn to love, be soft. And this information, all these things we speak about is I truly feel at the core of my being, and especially the great beings that I've met, this understanding's obvious as you soften and go more deeply within yourself. It's not something you need to study. It's like a great saint once said, listening is like allowing a soft breeze to go through your ears, or so I feel a soft breeze in your skin. You enjoy it. It's not something you can hold on to. Certain things will resonate and use that as fuel, but ultimately you have to let that go as well. Just allow everything to be and trust your heart. That's the end of chapter 9. So chapter 10, focus on you, become your own priority. So this chapter 9 spoke partly about others and the entrapments and feeding off others. And chapter 10 goes into focus on you, become your own priority. So thanks for listening in. Stay tuned for next time. And we look forward to the next one.